Ryan Dempster.
There's a 1-1 to Freeman. Oh, he caught it! Right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh,
that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go Cubs!
That was outstanding.
840, Ryan Dempster. MLB Network, and also likes to play wiffle ball if you're in the neighborhood. And joins us now from the road. I think he's on the road. You're always on the road. Where are you today?
Oh, I made it back last night from a beautiful family vacation. A couple weeks, we took the kids out to Vancouver and then to Yosemite and Sequoia National Park in California. So got back late last night.
And that was after coming home from Italy.
That was an adult trip. This one was nice.
I'm telling you, dude, you're not missing the road at all.
I loved it. I love that wiffle ball call. Me and Ted Lilly actually got to spend some time with him and his family over the weekend. We had an epic 4th of July Little League game just outside of Visalia, so it was a blast.
I think I could stay with you in wiffle ball if it was 1972 or 3, because you were, what, a year or two old maybe?
And I wasn't even there yet. I don't think it was a thought in my parents' mind yet.
When were you born?
77.
77. No, I was done playing wiffle ball then, but I was an ass-kicking wiffle baller in the days, man. And we used to play one-on-one wiffle ball because, you know, if any of the other cousins weren't available, and then, Dems, what would happen is you get a hit. If I can hit you with the throw before you get to first base or second or whatever, you're out. So you'd raise a nice welt or two.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. That's the old-school way. You got to find a way to get it done when you only got one guy on defense.
All right, so pitchers in the home run derby. I'm the guy that always says pitchers are a little soft and these days, and that they ought to be able to have their arms trained to go a little deeper. But it's an era of specialization, and the amount of money spent on pitchers. If I was an owner, I wouldn't let a pitcher anywhere near the home run derby.
Yeah, I think if that was the case, I don't think they'd even want them near the mound. I think they'd want them just having a DH, but. You know, it's an interesting concept behind all of it, really. Is it exciting, I think, for fans to sit there and wonder if these guys are capable of doing that or being in it or watching it? Sure, it definitely brings some excitement. I think it's going to be a lot harder than pitchers realize to sit there with no, you know, when you have all of a sudden now no batting cage, for whatever reason, that dome that goes around the batting cage while you're hitting, it provides some sort of security blanket, some comfort, and you take that away and realize how hard it is to sit there and swing like that for minutes on end and trying to hit home runs. It's definitely a different beast, and I'm not really sure how it would work out, but we'll see.
Well, you see guys like Madison Baumgartner, and there's a lot of guys, well, not a lot, but there's more than maybe in the last few years in the bigs that can hit from a pitcher's standpoint, but it just it's fatiguing. We've seen position players who go three or four rounds in a home run derby, and their second half gets affected. I mean, it's look, it's a cute idea. That's it.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing, too. And right, all it's going to take is one pitcher go out there and get hurt doing it. And was it worth it? I mean, what are we doing here? What's the end goal? The end goal to try and be healthy for a whole season. And hey, man, pitchers could do it, and nobody gets hurt, and it turned into a great time. We never know what the end result's going to be like until it actually would happen.
You ever had a pitcher hit one off you?
Oh, man. Yeah, Mike Hampton crushed one off me.
He was a good hitter.
Yeah, he was. No, he was. And this was a no-doubter down in Florida and hit an absolute bomb off me, man. I just and then I go up there looking to take him deep, obviously, and being a veteran pitcher, what did he do? He threw me like a little baby cutter under my hand, and I think I fell down swinging. So it was like the worst thing that could happen, but then you realize he is a good hitter and you just made a mistake.
So when a pitcher hits it off you, even if he's a good athlete, and Hampton was, frankly, probably a better hitter than a pitcher, but Hampton hits one out, is that more annoying, or is it the pinch hitter, the 205 pinch hitter, you know, with the single spray power who somehow gets around on one? Which one bugs you more?
Oh, the single spray one. I had this knack throughout my career. It was actually kind of turned into a little bit of a joke. There would always be a guy during the year that finished with one or two, and one or two of those would be off of me, like an Omar Quintanilla or a Craig Counsell. Like, the non-home run hitter, and somehow I found a way to, like, spin a slider down, and then he dropped the bat and hit it around the pole, and it beat his only one all year. And I did that, Corky Miller. You know, just the one home run that the guy hit.
So no one named Corky should ever get a home run.
Right? And what a great dude, too. And I happened to give up. He hit one. There was two guys during the year, Omar Quintanilla and him. In one season, they both hit their only home run off me.
Hey, Deb, it's Mark Harmon. What do you do with Wilson Contreras? Because it seems like they want him to be catching every day, but yet you don't want to rock the ship too much. And guys like Miguel Montero, the classic veteran, saying, hey, he needs to be behind the plate to learn the pitcher. So if you're really going to have this guy catching come playoff time, maybe he needs to be out there more.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think they're doing a good job of easing him into it. You got pitchers who have a routine and they're used to throwing to guys and how guys catch, and he can sit there and watch that. He's been playing some left field. And just continue to work on it. And then eventually, he'll get thrown into it and he'll start catching a lot more. That's inevitable. But for right now, you want to kind of, you have this luxury of being able to kind of have him learn along the way and learn from Rossi and learn from Miguel how to go about catching these guys at the big league level, so that when you are out there every day and that pressure is on you to catch six days a week, 7 days a week, that you can do it and do it with ease. And I think that the plan's worked so far. He's done great. You know, he's a great kid. He's going to learn really fast and continue to just get better and better and rack up the innings behind the plate, not just out in left field or off the bench.
So does a veteran pitcher, like if that was you and you're, put yourself in John Lackey's shoes, a new catcher comes in as a rookie, do you not want to throw to him? Well, you wouldn't say that.
No, you got to test the waters, right, and work together as a team and as a unit. And there's always that stuff put into, oh, I'm not going to throw this guy, or I don't like throwing to him, or his target's this. And all that gets corrected with just time together, conversation, communication. This is what I like to do. This is how it goes in certain situations for me. This is where I like to go to. This is where I like to throw my pitches. It takes a little bit of time, but when it happens, what a luxury you have behind a plate, a guy who can hose anybody in the big leagues at second base, probably from his knees. He's got that good of arm, tons of energy behind the plate, and it's going to be a huge, huge piece of the puzzle as the season goes on here in the second half.
Talking to Ryan Dempster, the Pirates won their seventh straight. They're now ahead of the Cardinals, and I think 7.5 back, or is it more than that, the Cubs? Look, 8.5 back. Here's the thing about the Cubs. I firmly believe this. The worst thing the Cubs could do at this age, relative age of the team, is start thinking. They're playing a kid's game the way it should be played. They're just going out and having fun. However, you go on this mini skid the way they're on, and, thinking could be a problem. So how does Joe Maddon keep them from thinking?
Yeah, well, I mean, Joe's a pretty smart guy. He knows what he's doing, and these guys know what they're doing. And, one of those things that they know that they're doing is they know that this is a long season and there's going to be ups and downs. Just like there's this tremendous euphoric high at the beginning of the season when you're winning 9 out of every 10 games, there's going to be some lulls. There's going to be some times where as a pitcher, they always say as a starting pitcher, you get 35 starts. You're going to have 5 good ones that you don't even have to worry about. You're going to win those games. You just roll out there, you're going to win. You're going to have 5 that you lose. And then it's the other 25 starts. What do you do with those? And I think you're going to have moments where so the starting pitching goes through, a blip in the radar. The bullpen goes through a tough time. But you just got to keep your nose to the grindstone and keep doing what you need to do. And Joe knows that. Those players know that. And they'll turn this little skid around. And, sometimes they're good to have, too. They put you in check and get you back into what you need to be doing right and go out there and finish strong here the last 4 games through the All-Star break, have a nice little break, and then come out strong after the break.
I was going to say, does the break help because it breaks the bad momentum, if there is such a thing?
Yeah, it just helps in general. I think especially when you do have a little bit of, we have a combination of a young team and a veteran team. It's good for veteran pitchers to get those few days, extra days off. You come out feeling refreshed. I always felt like, good or bad, if you're going good or you're going bad, those days off, those 3 days off, even though half the team doesn't get those 3 days off because they'll be out there, it does help out. It helps out even more so from a mental side than a physical side, just to get a breather and get a little bit of time with your family and friends and enjoy a few days off before you get back at the full grind of trying to finish out a championship season.
Trying Dempster, and before I let you go, White Sox on a nice little run now. They're back to 3-over, and in that Central in the AL, you got to believe that they're within striking distance as you go into the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to play well going into the All-Star break will be huge for them. And then, you know, you got these two wild cards now, and you don't necessarily have to win your division. The Indians are playing so well. They have momentum on their side, but the White Sox aren't that far away. And just because the Indians got hot from, you know, May and June, maybe it's the White Sox turn in August to September. Maybe it's, you know, they're trying to try and catch up. And that's the thing about a 162-game season is you never know. And it's always – we want to be quick to give out awards in April and May and give away trophies, but hey, man, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and these guys are hanging tough right there, and they could get going just like they did at the beginning of the season and get right back in this thing in no time.
It's Ryan Dempster, and when he's not watching Little Leaguers or listening to me tell great wiffle ball stories of old, he's he's here talking Cubs and talking White Sox. And where's your next trip? You must be going somewhere again.
No, nothing on the agenda right now. Just going to enjoy the summer back here. It was a great way to start out summer vacation on that, and just watching a lot of baseball games and doing that and enjoying that. Maybe a concert or two at Wrigley Field and have some fun this summer here in Chicago.
We got to get you down here one morning. We'll figure out when it works for you.
Yeah, we'll figure out a good time. I'd love that. Face to face is always nice. You know, sometimes right. I feel so lonely on this other end when I don't get to see it.
Hugs? There you go. Come here, Tiger. All right, buddy. Thank you.